This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We get back to your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In a moment, as the NBA Finals Game 1 from last night has some people maybe changing their mind about what they expect to see in this series. The Warriors looked like they were in control, but the Celtics with a huge fourth quarter, 40-16, 17 straight points, flipped the script, and suddenly they are up 1-0 in the series. So we'll continue, of course, with that. Meanwhile, we want you to tune into a National League Central battle on Sunday. The Cubs host the Cardinals. Big rivalry, of course, there. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. And, of course, on Sunday Night Baseball, you can see and hear Buster Olney. He joins us right now as we talk about Buster. First of all, hello, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Sure, no problem. That was impressive video of you dunking. I'm just going to say that.
might be the only impressive thing I was able to do that day, but thanks for that. Joe Girardi and the Phillies and their decision right now to make this move, to fire him as the coach, obviously a losing record since he's been the manager there. 22-29 this season. They spent a ton of money on that roster. They are 12 games back of the Mets already in the East. I can't imagine there's great surprise to this, but what's, you know, just to explain for everybody else, what's behind all of this?
There is surprise and there isn't. There is surprise because if you actually, you know, you look at the team they put together this year, from the days that they signed Nicholas Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber, you looked at the roster and go, wow, they were defensively challenged before, and now they could be really bad defensively. And you knew they were going to be historically bad defensively. And then all of a sudden, Bryce Harper has an issue with his elbow, which means that he can't play right field anymore, which means that you have to flank the center fielder with Castellanos and Schwarber. Right from the get-go, you're like, that's not going to work. And so they get off to a terrible start, and lo and behold, their defense is terrible. And they're having a hard time scoring more enough runs to overcome how poor their defense is. I thought Joe, in a radio appearance this morning, probably put it best. He said, look, I've been in the business long enough to know that if you go into a season with expectations, and they did spend a lot of money, and you have a team that underperforms, and Joe said, I think that the talent is better than what the record is so far, you're going to make a change. And Joe's in the last year of his contract, so I guess you change things, but my goodness. The construction of this team, the total failure of the team to develop a pipeline of minor league talent, despite 4 or 5 years of tanking, I'd hardly ever put that on the shoulders of Joe Girardi. And I don't think anybody could expect a big change going forward.
Our good friend Hembo, who's part of the production crew of Get Up, right? He's a diehard Phillies fan, and he just was losing it this morning. I was asking him about it, and that's what you just said is really what he hit on the most, is no player development infrastructure whatsoever to support the spending that they have. So you have no depth, and he's like, the manager, he's not a good – maybe Girardi's not a great manager, but the manager was the least of your problems is what he's basically saying there. So with that in mind then, Buster, where do they go from here? I mean, what do they do now? Because they've spent a ton of money on this team, and they're getting nothing out of it.
Yeah, Rob Thompson takes over. I'm sure that, they'll hope that they get some kind of a turnaround under an interim manager. But I think they don't have long to wait for that turnaround to happen for a couple of reasons. One, we've got the trade deadline coming up, at the beginning of August, and they do have some marketable players. I think that in doing their due diligence, they should look at, trading some of the guys in their rotation if they have value and explore that question. But here's another major factor in all this. I mentioned Bryce Harper has an elbow issue. Yeah. The Phillies are not going to come out and say exactly what's going on with his elbow, but there are a ton of signs that he might need Tommy John surgery. Okay, he hasn't been able to throw. Oof. And at some point, if you continue to go on this trajectory where you're losing, you're going to want to start to focus on 2023, and that starts with getting Bryce Harper right. A, because he's your best player, he's your franchise player, but also because the construction you're now locked into with Schwarber and Castellanos, you need Bryce Harper to play in the outfield. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's absolutely a front burner issue here over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, you have two or three ways when you change your manager. Either you hope that it inspires the team and they punch above their weight class, or you say, okay, we're giving up on this season and moving down. I kind of want to go to, you know, what does this mean for Joe Girardi and his coaching career going forward? You know, is this kind of like his last, you know, swan song? Is this the last we'll see of Joe Girardi? Because now we see, you know, he's from the old school. We watch Buck Showalter change his his approach and able to adapt. It didn't seem like Joe Girardi was able to adapt. You know, you talk about the body language, the mannerisms, you know, all those things. That narrative is still out there about him. Is this the last we've seen of Joe Girardi?
I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why. And I thought, you know, you mentioned Showalter. I think that's absolutely a perfect comp, right? Because when Buck, you know, left the Yankees and then left the Arizona Diamondbacks, there was a narrative around him that, you know, this guy is the guy who's a control freak. He's too stiff. He doesn't change. I thought Joe really did change from his days with the Yankees to, you know, in that job that he got fired from to go into the Phillies. And I think that he did make some adjustments. I don't think he was the problem with the Phillies, not even close. And we're seeing the sport generally boomerang back away from, yeah, it's fine if we bring in an inexperienced manager who's just going to be an arm of the front office, to maybe these veteran managers can offer something, like Buck Showalter is with the Mets, clearly Bob Melvin is with the San Diego Padres. The other day I was having a conversation with a longtime coach who said, yeah, the sport now is starting to move back into that realm where they feel like experience actually does matter. And Joe Girardi brings a lot of experience, and I do think he's gotten better as a manager over his time in that position.
The Dusty Baker also brings to mind, you know, right? Like, you're just bringing in somebody that can sort of keep the turbulence at bay. And it's, you know, the sport is getting younger too, as we see that. So you kind of need those guys around that understand how to, as what was Girardi's issue when he was with the Yankees, deal with some of these younger players with a different way than the old school way. We're talking with Buster Olney, Sunday Night Baseball, of course, and ESPN.com senior writer, Major League Baseball. The Phillies fire Joe Girardi. They move on. The Mets are 12 games ahead in the division. I mean, just having a dominant start to the season. And for a while, we thought we might not see Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer for, you know, maybe late July, early August. But I heard you recently say deGrom might be back sooner than we thought.
Yeah, and look, there is I think the Mets probably would be okay without them. You know, to me, I actually think the division is just about in their hands, right? The Atlanta Braves are a great team. I still think they could make the playoffs. I still think they can make it back to the World Series. You saw their late season surge last year. But the Mets are a terrific team, and they are expecting that they're going to get Scherzer back, and they're expecting that they're going to get DeGrom back. He's making progress. He's going through his throwing program, increased velocity, greater distance, traveling with the team. And in talking with sources with the team, who, you know, folks who talked to DeGrom last weekend, they say he's, like, really fired up to join this team now. Like, hey, you guys got something good going. I want to be a part of that. I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting to watch is, as he comes back, is he still going to be that max effort guy? Because I know there have been discussions in the organization about, you know what, if you dialed it back just a little bit on your fastball, maybe that would help to protect you better, more physically, and you can still be a really great pitcher. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other day when I was up in Boston, Kevin Plawecki, of course, was with the Mets in the past, now catcher with the Red Sox, and I told him that I was hearing there was a chance that the new and improved DeGrom will come back and maybe be a guy who's starting to be more measured in his use of velocity. And Plawecki looked at me and said, yeah, we'll see in a pinch. Like, he's so competitive. Right. We'll see. And maybe that would be different in his nature. But that would be an adjustment that would be helpful for the Mets. I can't put an exact time frame on it, but I know there's a lot of optimism that he's going to help the team this year.
Hey, Buster, when it comes to the Mets, though, even with a season like this, they're playing so great. I find it, not just the Mets, but this sport, has injuries that when you hear how they happen, you say, only baseball. You rarely hear these types of injuries other than in this sport. And so the latest is Francisco Lindor missing a game because he slammed a door on his finger. You have to have heard. I know that's when sounds like, all right, that's a crazy, just, you know, freak injury. But in all your years covering baseball, is there one player who got hurt because of something weird? Is there one that always comes to mind when you see these things?
There's no doubt that the strangest situation that I ever covered was when Trevor Bauer was with the Cleveland Indians and he was lined up to start in the postseason, and that was affected because his hand got cut up by his drone.
Yeah.
One of the propellers on his drone. And if you remember, they tried to make that work. He went out on the mound in Toronto and his hand started bleeding profusely when he was out on the mound. That was the strangest thing to hear initially about the injury, and then to hear Trevor's discussion about or a description of how it happened, and then to watch the whole situation play out where he's got blood covering the right side of his pants.
I thought you were going to say David Price playing video games getting carpal tunnel syndrome. I thought you were going to go there because that's the other one that just makes you think, wow.
I mean, Cespedes boar hunting.
That might be a hole.
You don't got to go that far. What kind of cowboy stuff is he doing? Does he love bacon that much? What the hell is we going on? You can buy your bacon, son. You don't have to hunt your own bacon.
I've covered every major sport. This the only sport that you hear things like, oh, he's out tonight. What happened? The door slammed on his finger. What? I don't know. I'm trying to think in the NBA or even in the NHL. Have I ever heard of anything
they
like that? I know of a goalie who said he almost had his foot cut off because they were celebrating in the locker room after the game, and some guys still had their skates on, and he had his off, and they were jumping up and down. And he's like, can you imagine that? Now, that's a serious one, but these are absolutely crazy.
Well, we do have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you remember they used to take a cut off the log, and the dude missed and cut his own shin, the kicker, with the axe.
That's a bad one.
Pretty dumb.
I heard of one that, and I'm obviously going to save the name to protect the player.
Sure.
An active love life went through a glass table and was not available for some time after that.
Aggressive. Now, was he?
That sounds like a court category in Pornhub.
I was trying to be all subtle and everything, Bart, you know?
You delivered that well. Because the only thing I thought of was he on the way down or was he the – never mind.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for rescuing me from that question.
We will certainly leave it right there. Buster, great stuff as always. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much. That's probably a perfect time to exit stage left.
See you guys.
All right, all the best. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Back to your calls in the NBA Finals coming up. But first, this from Masterworks. The miracle on ice, the helmet catch, the flu game, clutch moments like these that separate the winners from the losers. So in a market sometimes down 16%, 50%, 92%, who's pulling off a win? Look no further than this exciting market with a global value of $1.7 trillion. And it's only going to get bigger. In fact, experts predict it can grow by another $1 trillion in less than 5 years. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to be a baller like Bart Scott. You don't have to be a team owner to get in on the action. All you need is a smartphone. It's not betting. It's way more impactful. Check it out. It's called Masterworks. They've already got over 400,000 members on their platform. And ESPN listeners like you get priority access. Skip the wait list. Here's how you do it. Go to Masterworks.com and use my promo code Han, H-A-H-N. That's Masterworks.com, promo code Han. Masterworks.com, promo code H-A-H-N. See important Regulation A disclosures at Masterworks.io/CD. There's no guarantee of profits, and investing includes risk of loss. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. But I know we have probably talked about this before because of all the different crazy injuries that come through in a baseball season. But I'm trying to remember if there's one that was from an NFL, like from your NFL career, maybe not necessarily to you, but to a teammate that when you heard, They might not have announced how it happened, but when you found out how that injury happened, you were like, man, how, what? Like, there has to be one weird one like that.
Well, we talked about Jacksonville, like the
punter that one, right.
Cut a piece out.
But I'm talking about like a teammate. Like, you were in a locker room and they didn't announce. Like, the team said, oh, it happened in practice or something, but you all found out it actually really happened, like, in some other weird way.
Well, of course, like, some I can remember, he wasn't a teammate. Brandon Marshall saying he slipped on a McDonald's bag and went through. We got Nate Burleson reaching for a pizza that slid off the thing in Detroit and crashed and broke his arm and couldn't play.
What?
Because, yeah, he broke his arm because his pizza.
Reaching
he had,
for a pizza?
He had his pizza on the seat as he was driving. Now, he must have turned the corner, and the pizza was falling down to the bottom, so he tried to catch it and crashed and broke his
crashed
arm.
Crashed the car?
Yeah. Got in an accident and broke his arm. And couldn't play.
Let the pizza go.
Then I had a teammate that came in with a chiclet one day, like, dog, what happened to you? He said, yeah. So he had this syndrome that, like, if you wake up too quick, the blood don't go to your feet fast. So he was getting up to go use the bathroom, and his feet wasn't warmed up, and he fell.
Oh.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah. He fell. He could, like, as soon as he stood up, he fell and hit his face on the on the dresser and broke his tooth. looking like Tooth to Truth Johnson off Living Color, you know what I'm saying? Tyson, going to fight some Mike Tyson.
Oh, my goodness. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Celtics beat the Warriors last night, 120-108. They do it with a 40-16 fourth quarter in which they scored 17 straight points. They hit their first seven threes. For the game, they were 52% from three-point range. It was insane. They just got red hot. And suddenly a game that the Warriors looked like they were in control of flipped, and the Celtics steal game one. I'm going to say steal game one. And now they have a 1-0 lead, obviously, in the series. And so the question we're asking everybody is, does this change your opinion of what could happen in this series? We go back to your calls. Let's continue now with John in Massachusetts. John.
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
Good.
Good.
Okay, listen, three quick things about the Celtics, right? And you got to give props to the coach. He put in the game plan. The players executed it, right? Even with Tatum's off game, I was concerned about Tatum because he doesn't bring his man game to every game. But last night, his shot wasn't working. This is what happened. The coach put the ball in his hands knowing he's going to get a double team. Those 13 assists, six of those were wide open.
Yep.
They missed three because of the ball swing. He's taking the ball to the center court, to the paint, and he's dishing out. When that stopped working, he moved it to the corner. He's getting a double team. That's when you swing the ball. They executed it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, because both of these teams are my team, I love the Warriors because of the way they play. And thanks to Mark Jackson.
Yep.
Mark Jackson, he orchestrated that. Yep. So the entire NBA is playing Mark Jackson's game. I don't know what's wrong with the Knicks. They back up the Brinks truck to Mark Jackson, dump it on the lawn, and let Mark Jackson get the Knicks right.
Man, but John, you just
Knicks always get the scrap, no, don't
somehow, it. Some way, it always just comes back to how the Knicks screwed up, right? It's just amazing, John. He's right about what they did and how they used Tatum, and knowing that Tatum's going to get all the attention, and they probably watched what they did against the Mavericks and Luka, and okay, this is what they're going to give us, so we have to make sure we're ready for it. And those guys, you know, Derek White, Marcus Smart, Al Horford knocking on those threes, being aggressive. For one game, they took advantage of it. The question is, can they keep up that kind of shooting? That's what I wonder. We continue. We stay in New England. We go to Maine, and we talk to Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking, you know, the fourth quarter that they had there, it wasn't the hot streak, 17 points, 40 points in the quarter that impressed me. It was the 16 points that they held the Warriors to.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of changed my mind lately is you know, I love the Celtics. My heart's with them, but my mind was just like Warriors in seven. I've changed the Celtics in six because I think that defense, I didn't think they could do that ever to the Warriors, hold them to 16 points.
They were up.
In quarters.
And actually, it was really 12 points because those last points were, like, irrelevant.
But they were up 12, though. Like,
no,
come on, man. I'm talking about Golden State was up 12.
Yeah.
You think that their defense was great when Steph Curry went for 21 in the first quarter?
Well, that first quarter, he was insane.
They just got hot. You know what I mean? That I don't think they played great defense. You know, Draymond Green missed open bunnies, right? Their guys made their open three-pointers. Draymond Green missed four of his. That's the difference.
Yeah, I guess – and Draymond's got to shoot better. There's no doubt about that. All right, one more. D is in Queens. What's up, D?
I've been saying this for a while. If the Warriors don't win, and I don't think they will, we're going to look at KD and the Warriors the way we look at Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, where – they needed each other, and too much egos cost them everything.
I get that part,
and that's what that's why this thing will be interesting. If they win it, it'll be about KD. If they lose it, it could also be about KD. But the argument is that they did win it before KD, so it's that is the one pushback I'll give on that one. But I do think a subtext of this finals will involve Kevin Durant in the conversation. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll continue on this conversation throughout the show at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, coming up on the NBA front, could there be expansion coming in the NBA? Some changes as well? That and more coming up in Audio Files next. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
Hey, Bart.
What up?
I saw this, I think it was on Instagram. Yeah, it was Instagram. Max Preps had this thing. It's a great question. Tied game, 30 seconds left. It's two characters from movies that we love, football movies, right? Forrest Gump and, of course, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah.
So Forrest wants to go home. But Bobby heard Forrest talking about his mom. Does Forrest get home before Bobby catches him? You know the story?
Yeah, Forrest wants
Bobby
to go
Boucher,
home.
Bobby Boucher gets mad if you say something, yeah, right? It gets him all fired up. Otherwise, he's mild-mannered. Forrest Gump runs, and you can't catch him because he's so damn fast.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's 30 seconds to go in a tied game. And I have to add the caveat that he heard Forrest say something, you know, about his mom. Or maybe making fun of him.
So can he
Boucher
catch him?
Boucher is all fired up.
Yeah.
Does he catch him?
Nah, you ain't catching Forrest. Not especially not with no damn neck roll.
See, because you're going to blame it on the neck roll. See, I figured Bobby Boucher was more of a guy that you would relate to more than it would be, you know, the diva wide receiver that Forrest Gump was.
Well, you know, that was my nickname. That was my nickname. Was
you
Bobby
Boucher?
Yeah, and
the water boy.
And in college, they called me Bobby Boucher. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't think he has. You know, Bobby Boucher has the long speed to catch Forrest. Remember, Forrest not only can run fast, speed. You can't catch him, but he ran for almost a whole year from one side of the country to the next. So Bobby Boucher is like, you know, like one of these big middle linebackers. Yeah. He gonna start pulling hammies.
You know I mean? Love the breakdown. Yeah. I love it. No, that's a great breakdown. That's a perfect way to break it down. If you you're doing it analytically. You're using your analysis tells
your
you
strengths.
That as angry as Bobby Boucher would be, Forrest Gump's too fast and speed beats everything.
And he got long speed too.
He does.
So it's like if Bobby don't catch him in the first 15, his top end speed, that X button runs out. Forrest is gonna keep the same speed. But for 15 miles. So, I mean, Bobby Boucher got no chance.
All right. Does everybody agree with Bart? Let us know. At Bart and Han on Twitter. It's Bart and Han, by the way, ESPN Radio. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Are close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So when the NBA Finals open, which you have, of course, in every sport, when they're in the championship round, you hear from the commissioner. Adam Silver spoke last night before the game. One thing he did say, now remember everybody, including you, were so upset that Joel Embiid could be a runner-up for MVP but not make first-team All-NBA because of the technicality that he was a center, and Nikola Jokic, who's also a center, who was the MVP, he got the center spot in the first team. So he was asked about it. He said, you know, we're going to look into things because, it can affect the money. It affects a lot of things. And the All-Star game now is basically two backcourt, three frontcourt players. And maybe that's what you have to do now in this. So he did acknowledge that. But he also acknowledged something else, or at least addressed something else, which is rumors that the NBA is considering expansion. One potential city which everybody believes
Vegas
long overdue to get back to is Seattle. I loved going to Seattle.
Yeah.
It was great. Seattle's a beautiful city. That's awesome. But
I'm going Vegas
keep in
first.
Mind, there's another city as well, and it's where the NHL and the NFL is right now, and it's Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. So we'll hear from Adam Silver as we begin the segment that we step aside and let the headline makers do the talking. And what is it called, Bart?
Audio Files.
The Audio File. The Audio File.
So here's Adam Silver talking about the potential for expansion in the NBA.
Maybe there are people talking who aren't at the league office about us potentially expanding after the 24 season. We are not discussing that at this time. At some point, this league will invariably expand. It just is not at this moment that we're discussing it. One of the factors in expanding is the potential dilution of talent.
That's what I worry about. Now, Phil Knight, you know, from Nike, is in the midst of buying the Portland Trailblazers. So that's a pretty big owner
I thought they told him they were straight.
Well, I thought he was in the midst
of Paul Allen trust fund or something like that.
Yeah, because since he passed, I thought he was what? This new story now? Did I miss something? Do you have something from 7-Eleven.com?
Yeah, I thought 7-Eleven.com was saying that it's not for sale. Portland's not for sale.
That they pushed back on him? Man,
yeah.
everything.
LeBron made a billion. Yeah, like if LeBron made a billion off of you, Phil Knight, then I'm straight. You got to up that from more than $2 billion. I need $5
billion. Oh, is that what it is? Because
don't buy me for no $2
billion.
Buy me for no $2 billion.
Man.
Oh, man. Do not take my pocket change.
See, I was based off stuff I was hearing. I didn't realize there was an actual report. I heard like he was all in and he was ready to go. Somebody was telling me that, but I guess the reports are that they're saying you're gonna have to hire Bob, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay.
They offered unlimited supply of Marty McFlys too, but you know, I don't think that got the deal done.
No. Well, all right. So, but as far as expansion goes, it could happen, but not yet. And I agree, because when you add two teams, that's two rosters, that's diluting the talent even more.
Yeah.
And it does weaken the league a bit. So keep an eye, though,
Bring some more foreigners over here.
It just makes sense.
It's some worthy people, though.
International players, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly are more that you could get. Also, probably have to open it up to 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like we know it's heading to that direction anyway. And. You know, and also you'll see players playing later in their careers too, instead of retiring early.
Can I give you another city?
Where else would you like to see the NBA?
Nashville is Nashville is crazy, son.
Love that town. I think they would do well there.
Yeah, Nashville, well Seattle, there. Vegas.
Yeah, those are definitely three places that the NBA should be. Completely agree. All right. Meanwhile, on the NFL front, as we've talked about in the past. A head coach that everybody believes has been deserving of a head coaching job and never got it is Eric Bieniemy, who's been the Chiefs offensive coordinator. And who was the player, Bart?
Shady McCoy.
Yeah. Who said...
I Am Athlete podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of like really, you know, explained that saying he's just basically that he's not a good guy. And that's why he's not getting a head coaching job. But with all practices and everything else going on right now and another coaching cycle that has gone through and Eric Bieniemy has not gotten a job once again, he was asked, are you just going to give up on being a head coach?
I just got to go get it. I just got to go get it. I'm not seeking any comfort. You know, I haven't gotten it for whatever reason. It don't matter. I'm going to keep knocking on that damn door and I'm going to keep working my ass off to make sure that it happens. So my job this year is to make sure that we take care of the business that needs to be taken care of today to help us to achieve the goal down the road. But then it's time for me, when presented, to just go and get the job.
What's it going to take for him to go and get the job? And what did you think of how he phrased all that?
I mean, he's trying to be more blunt and exude confidence. We're in this new world now when we're watching CNN, we're watching Fox, we watching NBC. Did I forget anybody? Because I don't want to get added any or on, whatever. Right? Mm-hmm. But we had this thing where everybody's like, it's cool to talk bold and use, curse words. You know what I mean? We hear, like, you know, politicians talk about the gun stuff, cussing, and they just – so I think that was that way of trying to communicate this new way of confidence by, you know, speaking freely as you're talking to, like, a group of your friends or peers. You know, here's a problem that he has is Matt Nagy's back in town. And last time Matt Nagy was there, they won the Super Bowl as well. And Matt Nagy is going to be there to kind of take his spot, because now you got somebody looking over your shoulder if the offense struggles, you know, with the new talent. Now it's like, well, Nagy's going to suggest, hey, can I, you know, suggest something? No. Like, back up, man. You had your time to be able to try to be a head coach. It didn't work out. Now you're coming back, and now you want to be looking over my shoulders. So he has to get out of there this year, or it's going to become an uncomfortable situation there, you know, because Matt Nagy's always lurking.
That part is, of course, true. And that's what you have to watch there now, is who will end up getting credit. But the Bieniemy story is one that a lot of people are wondering, why isn't he getting a job? And you can hear he's definitely doesn't want to make it a priority, because his priority is to help the Chiefs still win. Like, that's his priority. But you could tell for him, he's like, I've got to get a job eventually. He's determined to do it. Who will it be? That's Audio Files, by the way. It's Bart and Hahn. Just to let you know, Bart, Woj did write a story, I believe just put up maybe yesterday, that, again, Phil Knight and Dodgers part owner Alan Spolinski, they delivered an offer for more than $2 billion to purchase the Trailblazers. The plan is they will remain aggressive in trying to buy this team.
Right.
That the Trailblazers just put out a statement saying an offer was made by Phil Knight. The team remains not for sale.
Yeah.
The Blazers are valued at just over, slightly over, $2 billion.
Right. So you're going to offer.
So that's right in the range.
Over? Yeah. Right. No. Right now, we paying it. Go buy a house. Watch somebody get you getting $100,000 over asking price.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're going to come get my franchise that's worth, and it's right in your backyard too. You know what I mean? You ain't even got to go that far. Nike's right there. And now you just think you're going to insult me by giving me asking price without giving me the 10 to 20% inflation on it? You crazy
as
hell. I need 2.5 minimum.
Phil Knight passed away. Paul Allen passed away in 2018. And it's in a trust right now. And so right now you have the Blazers and the Seahawks, and both are expected at some point.
Yeah, trying to catch people that got the liquidity to buy both of them and give them the cash quickly.
Right. Okay, damn. That's Audio Files again. It's Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott. The road to the rematch is on bantamweight champ Julieta Pena and former champ Amanda Nunez. They go head-to-head. Coaches on the historic 30th season, The Ultimate Fighter. You can stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. We continue with your calls in the NBA Finals. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Did the NBA Finals change what happened in Game 1, change your view of what's going to happen in the Finals? We go back to the calls. Wayne is in New York. What's up, Wayne?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All right.
Absolutely not. It doesn't change my opinion. I said at the very beginning, this series is going 7 games. Listen, the two coaches of the NBA, I do not bet against the Steve Kerr and Paul and Pop. They'll find a way. The interesting thing that no one's talking about is that the Celtics did not get a foul on their starting five until the third quarter, which means that they were wearing them guys out. Listen, they'll find a way. I think they may have to unleash that lineup of death again with Iguodala, and I like to see Kuminga get some burn this one.
Live
but
legs.
I think this is going to be probably, it's probably going to be one of the best series that we've seen for a while. Listen, Alan, there's no way I can root for the Celtics, me being a New York Knicks fan.
I'm the same way, man. It's like you watch the Celtics. You can marvel at them. You can admire them. You can appreciate them. But doesn't mean you can root for him, right? I think that's definitely a New York rule. Adam's in Kentucky on the coaching also. Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say that Steve Kerr really cost the Warriors this game. He doesn't seem to believe in momentum. So Steph Curry's going unconscious in the first quarter. And what does he do? He takes him out for rest?
Well, he's got to rest him. That's the one thing, and I understand that part of it. I think later in the game is when you probably wanted to get him back in there before things got crazy, and he was on the bench for some of that. That part I could agree with, but I don't agree with the beginning. And he just gave you a Hall of Fame quarter. You got to sit him a little bit. Like you say momentum. He also needs to catch his breath. Like at that part, I wouldn't criticize that. You want to criticize anything? It's late later on. Did you do enough to stop the hemorrhaging that was going on with your defense? And also how bad your offense was, suddenly not moving the ball, and it was a lot of one-on-one. It was ugly basketball. So they will adjust. You got to trust them. You got to trust Steve Kerr and this core, and I certainly do. We are back in 10 seconds. You can trust that.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We'll get back to your calls here in a moment. So today we are not you can hear us on ESPN Plus, but if you have us on, you can see it's probably just our show logo kind of bouncing around like a screensaver from Windows 95.
Bing bong.
Yes. But that's just when we're not together in studio. Certain times we can't be there. There's no way to get us on camera. But we can't say goodbye today on ESPN Plus without acknowledging someone that has been a huge part of our show since we moved over to this platform, to National, to being on ESPN Plus. Someone who's always active in our group chats during the show, really not just being an expert at framing and setting up the show, making it look amazing, making both Bart and I look way more handsome than we really are in person, but also someone that is active in the conversation. You love when people are engaged in your show and they take pride in it and they take ownership of it. And that's what Lorenzo Rodriguez has been doing for us for the last 2 years. And if we go off on tangents about things, pop culture, or other stuff, he's quick to jump in and, hey, don't forget about that. Don't forget that. Like, he's been fantastic as far as promoting our show and making it better. And unfortunately, today we have to say goodbye to him. And it's for a good reason. Yeah. He is moving on from ESPN Plus in the production company that produces our show down in D.C. For him, I don't want to get too much into his personal life, but for he and his wife, they had a baby, and they are a growing family, and now they have two children, and you need to be near family. So he's moving on, and he's looking to do bigger and better things in his business, which we both expect him to do, right, Bart? I mean, we know he's certainly talented.
Listen, we're good luck Chuck.
Actually, we do send people off to better things, don't we?
Yeah. We're a launch pad.
We are a launch pad show. There's no doubt about it. But, Bart, I mean, I speak for both of us.
Absolutely.
As I know, Zoe is listening. We thank you very much. We love you for everything you've done for this show and has helped us with what this show has become. And we both wish you nothing but the best and great success. And whoever is out there that is going to hire you is going to hire, a Hall of Famer, a most valuable player, an all-star. That's what they're going to get. And if they have any problems, they're going to have to come talk to us about it.
Night, night.
That's night, all you got
night.
To say.
Well, no, just the fact, listen, we know where this show was when we got here. And the additions that were made were all positive. These are big shoes to fill. These are big shoes to fill.
That's true, listen, too.
We appreciate, all that he's given us. And we understand that everybody has aspirations. That's what I love about being a part of a team of a show. Everybody has their collective goals and they have their individual goals. And I'm just so happy that he's able to take the next step and do bigger and better things. And, don't forget me on the top, man. CMB. Oh, my God.
If I could just ask something real quick, too, before go to break here. Like, I've been with this show since February, and I have done strictly radio in 22 years here. And Lorenzo was so huge in helping me get adapted to the ESPN Plus stuff. So I certainly send him a very big thank you and tell him how much I appreciate him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it wasn't just our show. He worked on Greeny, did the Dan Le Batard show before us, obviously, for all those years as well. So certainly has put in the time. Miami guy, just moving around, moving up in this business. And now it's on you, Chuck and Federica. It's on you. Take the baton and run with it, because this show, obviously, has a lot more ahead. Zoe, we love you. Thank you very much for everything and all the best. We will continue, of course, on ESPN Radio. Coming up next with your calls and more on the NBA. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.